to the first chapter of the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Now, in one sense, or maybe more than one, several perhaps, this is a chapter that's a little bit different than most any other we have in the Bible. In fact, we suppose there's not very many of my life. There are a couple that are pretty much the same elsewhere in the Old Testament. But this is in the New. And there's a peculiar situation that we know, perhaps when we read it, and that's this. There's no Savior here on the earth. There's no Holy Spirit here on the earth. And the temple that God had erected is still standing, but God doesn't know it. So it's a peculiar situation, and this very world that of which the Lord Jesus said just a little while before he died, he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. And that's the condition of the Savior going back to heaven. Oh, my, isn't that a peculiar situation? Yes, but we have in this chapter a number of precious, solemn, eternal facts. It may not be so much a gospel chapter, but at any rate, we have the Lord Jesus brought before us, and should there be any one of you dear ones here today who are not yet sure that your name is written in heaven, make sure. Why we read these words? Because it concerns the Lord Jesus. He isn't here on earth in this chapter. Yes, he is too. But he is. Oh, he is in the beginning of the chapter, but he doesn't say it. It's in this very chapter that we see the Lord Jesus, not in the grave, not on the cross, but we see him going up to heaven. Now, you don't see with your natural eyes, of course, but faith enables us to look at that. Well, let's read the chapter. The former Jesus have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they looked on, look what happened. He was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And in those days
Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together is about 120, men and brethren, this scripture must need to be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and having been part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem so much, and that field is called in their proper tongue, Acheldamah, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men, which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? And they appointed to Joseph called Barnabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell from Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, never in the world can we ever exhaust this chapter and bring out all the facts. And there are facts. We don't really get the gospel so much about the words that we said already in this chapter, but we certainly do get the foundation upon it. And you know, if we're going to sing that song from the heart like we do sometimes, you know, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Well, we must know that we've got something to depend upon. By the way, here you sit a little company of people, and not little compared to some of the companies we see down in our little country, but just think of the number of souls here. Every one, as each one, individually, worth more than all the world. You say, those kids are not worth that much. But God says they are. If they're not worth that much to you, they are to him. One child is worth more than all the world, because there's a body, a soul, and a spirit that will be in eternity. In eternity, yes, these little babies we have around here, and don't forget you used to be one, you know, and every one of them, the body, soul, and spirit, are going to be in eternity. But that doesn't say in heaven, does it? No. Where is eternity? Well, it's at the end of this life. But where is it? Well, you're to be either with the Lord Jesus forever in glory, or without him forever in down in the pit of hell. Makes one think of a little thing that happened in Des Moines a number of years ago, when our old brother Mr. Potter was living. He was asked to speak to the children in the Sunday school, and he was then no youngster, fast in his 80s, and he stood up there before the group of children and he started speaking a little piece. An old man speaking in speech. You know, children speak pieces sometimes, don't they? In school, maybe, and somewhere like that. And he looks at his little feet. Though I am young, I have a soul the world can never buy. And while eternal ages roll, it will not, cannot die. For it must soar to worlds on high, where happy spirits dwell, or buried with the wicked lie deep in the pit of hell. It's true, folks, and it's important. And you know, while the world is under judgment, has been judged at this time, and the Lord Jesus has just been raised out from among the dead and is going back to glory, yet you know what? He's got another day. God has got another day upon him in which he's going to judge the world. But are you going to be in that judgment? No. Not if you're one of his. You'll be caught up even before that. Well, here in our chapter, then, we have a few of these facts. Real facts. Precious, marvelous facts. And here, Jesus is not in the grave. But he has been. He's raised out from among the dead, and he stayed on earth. What do you suppose he stayed on earth for 40 days ago? Why didn't he go right straight out of that grave home there? You know why, don't you? Well, because most of the people wouldn't believe that he ever went back to heaven. Somebody hadn't seen him. So there are witnesses appointed, and in fact there are 12 witnesses that saw the Lord Jesus and had been with him all the time from the baptism over there at Jordan, when John had baptized the Lord Jesus, until the very day that they saw him, just the very day, we've got right here in our chapter, when they saw him up, to the fact that it's the very same Jesus. Well, now coming down to the chapter immediately in order a little bit, we'll find some of those things brought before. Now notice, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. The former treatise. Well, to be brief, and the most of you older folks know just what he did, so we won't dwell on too much. He's referring to the Gospel by Luke. For it is Luke, the beloved physician that he called, he's the one who really was used with the Holy Spirit in writing the book of Acts and also in writing the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. So he said that I wrote, and Theophilus was a man that was noted and important. And what are you doing it for? To make that man sure of these facts. What is this word written for? What have we got the Bible for? It's to make you sure that the facts that you're quoting are there have to be brought to pass. God's written word can't fail. And that's another thing. And especially for the young people who are facing the problems here in this world and the temptations on their hand. The world is plumb full of counterfeits of every kind. And what are the counterfeits of? They don't counterfeit anything at all. If you make a counterfeit dollar, you try to make it as much like it a silver dollar, they're trying to make it as much like the silver dollar as you possibly can. The world is full of things of that kind. A brother down the south had a knack of making things, and he made a paper dollar, a silver dollar, a paper dollar, as much like a paper dollar as fast as anybody could make. But in every place, it was something, some scripture. But he showed it to the authorities, and they begged the man not to print it. They couldn't stop him. They wondered, how in the world did you ever get on to the paper? And the colors and all of those things that you could make that, and look, make it look, if you have a few dollars, you could slip that in and pass it for a dollar is easy. But it wasn't worth anything in that sense, but it's worth more than any dollar you ever saw, because he brought it for the people and them, and they kept it. He didn't have to make it, and he kissed it yet. But it's so much like, it's a counterfeit. No, he didn't make it for a counterfeit. He brought out the truth that's found in God's word on that little piece of paper, size of a $1 deal. Well, at any rate, that is not that. But at any rate, now, he was here on earth. Why was he doing that? Oh, to prove to his disciples. You know what they did after he was dead? Oh, my. They all went to their own home. And there some of the women that followed, they just couldn't stand it. To think that they lost the Savior. And so after the Sabbath, early that morning, they were out there with their spices. They were going to open up that or render that bridge. There's a big stone rolled in front of it. It wasn't a hole in the ground like we have around here. And they were going into an anointed body. And when they got there, what do you suppose? The stone was open away. And they looked in and they couldn't see the Lord Jesus. He wasn't there. What did they see? Oh, I tell you what they did see. The Bible tells us plainly. They saw the clothes there. They saw something more. They saw some angels sitting in there. My, were they afraid? And when they told it to the apostles, even to the 11, they actually thought, oh, you're just telling the fables. Tell it in a story. They wouldn't believe. Couldn't believe. So the Lord Jesus stayed on earth to prove to them so that they would not only believe, but be positively certain that the Lord Jesus was risen out from among the dead. And, oh, think how good God is. Think how blessed he is. Kept him here for 40 days to bring out some of the people to be sure, and got many infallible proofs. But Christian, there's something else in there, something remarkable to think about. Well, you remember that when he was baptized in Jordan, heaven was open, and a voice spoke from heaven, looking down on the one who was God's delight. and telling him, God, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then, in addition to all of that, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of dove to abide upon him. And now what you find is all has to be dead. Where's the Holy Spirit there? What is that? You can't have it anymore. Oh, is that so? Wait a little, we'll see. Here he is, risen out from among the dead. Now, I know you can go to other chapters and get more direct information as to resurrection, but we get it at least referred to here. But anyway, he says, he began to do these things, to do unto thee, second verse, until the day in which he was taken up. Taken up, yes, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto his apostles whom he had chosen. The Holy Ghost? Yes, he had him when he was raised from among the dead. What about you and me? Christian, it's a marvelous thing. It's something, if one can speak well, you don't know how to manage. We can't tell you half enough the fact that your body, you who have been cleansed with the precious blood of Christ, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands now. He dwells in these bodies that have been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. And for how long? Well, then what for? Oh, my, it's been only the first as you thought. But as long until the purchase possession is taken home, that's as long as there's a Christian there on earth. And what's more? What did you do? One of the things is to take of the things of Christ and show them unto us. And now, when you consider the feet of Jesus and listen to the Spirit teaching, you can learn a lot, can't you? Well, some of us can learn better than others, and some of us have an awful time to learn. And so, if I only know what I'm learning here, I won't be very wise. I won't know too much. But wait a minute. When you and I are caught up into heaven, the Holy Spirit will go home with us, and we'll have him for all eternity, but we won't be bothered with the soul flesh. But I won't see the motives in your eyes. I won't have what being in my own. That's why I won't be able to see him open you. From the other side, do you think we'll have the Holy Spirit with us then? Will he still be there to tell us of the Lord Jesus? Indeed he will. And then we'll be right in the very presence of the Lord. Just like an object lesson, we might you say. And you'll have him right before your eyes. What is the effect of it? Well, it will only cause you increased joy, and that throughout all the ages of eternity. But wait a minute, it was until the day that he was taken up, after he, by the Holy Spirit, had given commandments. Now notice the third verse. To those whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive, after his passion, by many infallible proofs, the proofs being seen of him 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now when you speak of that kingdom, then we have an endless theme before us, and one that's not so easy to master either. But the kingdom, what the Jews were looking for, was really for their Messiah to come and take over and be a king here on the earth, and he did too. He went back to heaven and said, but he is speaking about after his burying. He had told God before. John the Baptist did the same thing. The apostles did the same thing while they were preaching. But that's not what we have to preach now. Now it's the gospel of the grace of God. And yet in some way, we're in the kingdom, which is in the mystery. But we haven't time to go on that now. But notice what the fourth verse. And being assembled together with them, while he was there with them on earth, he commanded them. Now he commanded them. Wait a minute. If you'd been there with him at that time and he commanded you to do something, would he expect you to do it? Do you children ever get a commandment from your mother and father? Well, you say, I've never heard any commandments. Oh, is that so? But you have heard mother say, now, my son and my daughter, this is something that a little duty that I lay out before you for today. Well, isn't that a little kind of a commandment? And of course, you all do it. You just say, oh, yes, Mama. Yes, Daddy, I sure wanted to just like this. Do you do it? You know, I have known children that don't do it. They forget. And we even read about such in the Bible. Well, but here's a commandment the Lord Jesus gave to his own. And I believe it is. They did it to some extent anyway. They did what he told them to do after. But we can't dwell on that right now. At any rate, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise, which of the Father, which I think you heard of it.
A promise?
Oh, I know children can wait for something that's promising, and sometimes they can hardly wait until they get it.
Isn't it time for me to get what you promised me? Isn't it time for me to have?
Oh, well, but you wait. And you keep on waiting, you find it. If the one who promises you, you get it. And God has promised something. Who has he promised it to? Well, he promised it to the Lord Jesus. God promised something to the Lord Jesus. What did he promise him? Well, it isn't written in just so many words. And let's not take it lightly, because it's only put in this way that it might be simple enough for each one of us to get a hold of it. And so the seed might sink down into our heart and bear fruit for the Lord Jesus. But what was the promise? Well, when the Lord was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down to abide on him. But it couldn't abide on anybody else, because nobody else was clean like the Lord Jesus. But now, since we have believed, well, then we have the Spirit. So the Father, that God has promised the Lord Jesus, that when redemption's work is completed, then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit down to where? To abide in you, and not only that, but to baptize you into one body. Now we get a little suggestion of that in one follow. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, for John, that's John the baptizer, truly baptized with water. But, wait a minute, now who's speaking? Jesus. And he said, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Not many days? No. He didn't tell them just how many, however. And maybe they didn't quite understand, but nevertheless, no matter. When they therefore were together, they asked him, saying, now these are the apostles, the 11 of them. There may be another two, but these are the particular put together when you're five. Why not? Wouldn't you just as good when you were five? Wouldn't you just as dear to them when you were five as when you're 15?
I guess so, wouldn't you?
Just as good to you? Just as valuable? Yeah. But what do you to tell a five-year-old to go and do what he couldn't do? Or to tell him about what he can understand only when he's 15? So the Lord couldn't tell him all these things. Yeah, and it's not for you to know. So don't forget, beloved friends, that regardless of all the evil doctrines that come out in the world, people pointing out days and setting times and things of that kind, it's not for you to know the time. And on the other hand, we've got something that makes us know, too, that his coming is very near. Why? Oh, he tells him elsewhere to the Jews in particular. Now, when you see certain things take place, and you lift up your head, because you know that your redemption is drawing nigh. Christian, when we see some of those things in the world taking place today, and we know that he's speaking directly there, primarily, to the Jews, that their redemption is drawing nigh, what about yours, man? It's got to come in first. Then your redemption, dear Christian, is before that. It's got to be before that. And so we can lift up our heads and thankfully say, oh, come, Lord Jesus. This time is drawing nigh. And it might be before we, well, I shouldn't say before we go out of this room. It may be the way we go out of this room. Right straight up to be with the Lord. But at any rate, let's go on a little further now. And he said that them is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power. But what? You shall receive power. What's the power? It's the promise that he's given. It's the Holy Spirit who is coming. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what? Ye shall be witnesses of me. But now notice where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, right here we might say, just for by way of passing, that the Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, he went into Samaria. And they said he must needs go to Samaria. And we usually think of it as a fact, well, yes, that's right, he must. Because down there, but that Samaria, we read about in the fourth of John, you know, well, there was a woman that he had to meet, and to tell her about him for who he was. And he even sent his disciples away, the Bible, he sat down alone there. Well, when this woman comes, give me to drink. she looked at him and said, how come you a Jew asking drink of me, who was one of the only Samaritan women? You know the Jews and the Samaritan don't have any demons, they tell them? Yes, but he said, come on. If you only knew the gift of God, and who it is that said to you, give me the drink, then what you would have done is you would have asked him, and what would he have done? He would have given you living water. Well, we haven't time to go on that story, but I'm saying it seems that this might be brought from it anyway. John got it. There was that. Well, the first thing you get after the church is formed in the next chapter is the Jews is brought in. The next thing is the Samaritans are brought in. And the next thing is the Gentiles are brought in. Brought in where? Oh, that which is the object of his heart, the church of God, which is of which Christ himself is the head. You know that? Jews, Gentiles, Samaritans, all of them who go and believe. But anyway, that's not really the thought here. However, when he had spoken these things, now this is what he was saying on earth after he had been dead and buried and 40 days ago. This is his last day. Oh, wait a minute. Could this be the last day for some of us on earth? Could it? It could. And it could be for any one of us who don't know who's going to go next. You're not too young or too old to need this. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. You can all be caught up today if we say there's going to be a last day. And this was his last day on earth. He had been here now for a period of 33 years, a little bit. But more than that, he'd been on earth alive after he had died. Gained the victory over death in the grave for 40 days. And all those disciples, while they must have rejoiced in those 40 days. Like an old believer said one time, he was lived a long time in decline in his last days. And he said, do you know what I've been thinking about these last few days? No, what have you been thinking about? He said, I've been thinking about the 40 days the Lord spent on earth at his resurrection. How marvelous they were. And to think, they didn't go right straight back to heaven. No, he showed himself to him. But wait a minute, to his own family. He never let the world sin anymore. The world didn't sin anymore? No. And they never will. Until they see him come back from the mourn, because we get that here in our chapter. Is that something to make you and me mourn? No, we'll come to that a little later. But notice it says in verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they, to him, they were looking on. Would you be looking on if you didn't know? I'm sure you would. So I think perhaps there were over 500 looking on. And outside they were dead. And before they were looking on, he was taken up. And there's a big cloud. And he gets out of sight through that cloud. And they stand there looking. I expect they said, oh, that is that cloud. Get away from that. So to see him, they couldn't see him. He gone. Gone where? He went out. He didn't go to the grave? No. You know what he did? He poured the judgment that you and I deserved before he died. And now, if you want to help you and me, there's no judgment for you. Children, young people, old ones here, whoever you are, if you believe in Jesus, you can never come into judgment. Why? After you're dead. No. Why? Because he full bore that judgment before he died, and he's gone up to heaven. And he's going to take us on. Even if we just die, as we think of it, well, he'll own the absence of the body and leave it behind and be present with the Lord. So let's see. Now the cloud received him out of this light. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, notice they looked steadfastly. Do you think the children that the Lord Jesus wants you to keep looking at? I don't mean to stand around like that all the time and be praying for that. No, I'm not that. But do you think he wants you to keep looking up to heaven? Do you think he wants your fathers and mothers looking up to heaven? Do you grandparents think you'd like to have your children looking up to heaven, will you? All the time, but looking steadfastly. And you know what we do? Look steadfastly toward heaven. Well, we won't see half of the difficulties around here. No, we don't see. What are you looking to heaven for? I'm looking the same thing you're looking for.
I'm looking at Jesus,
that's it.
And you know what? It'll make it more like him.
How do you know?
Well, the Bible tells us so.
Take one to the end of the seventh chapter. And there is a man, young fellow, Timothy, was his name.
That's not the name I'm doing.
So, say it, somebody.
Stephen.
That's right, thank you.
Stephen was his name.
And here he was looking steadfastly. And all of his wives came over to sudden evil. But he saw heaven open. And he saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus up there. And he was telling it to the people around him. Oh, where they came mad at him. But you know what happened to him? His face began to shine like that of an angel. He began to look more like Jesus. And so would you and I in this world if we keep standing up and looking up to him and not looking at one another. You see, so sometimes, you know, we kind of prick ourselves up into a bit and we're kind of satisfied with looks. I'm not good at that, after all. But on the other hand, some other guy looks at the whole here with the sight. I've got to do something about this. Isn't that true? You know it is. Yes, but if you keep looking at him, you get more like him. And your friend, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, they begin to see Jesus in you.
Really?
It's a fact. And sometimes we can even tell a certain thing, stranger, that we've actually seen it in people. Now you have to if you just think about that. We're going to have time to go on that. But anyway, finally looked steadfast up into heaven as he went up. What? Who is that? Well, there are two men standing by them in shining apparel, in white apparel. Where did you come from?
What?
I don't suppose they said a word. They were probably too excited and maybe frightened. And you know what? They said something to them. Could they talk to those men of Galilee?
Yeah,
here's what they said. Ye men of Galilee, verse 11, why? Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Why do you do it? But don't need to ask them that, I guess. Nobody's going to say, why do you look so much toward heaven? Why are you so heavenly? It's sad to say we don't do it as we should. But they did. And why do you do it? Well, the mother said, well, how can you tell us? Why, don't you know what's happened? Don't you know that Jesus has been here? Look, they know it was the Son of God. And you know what he did? He did something nobody else did. They actually crucified him and buried him, and he came up alive again, and he showed himself to him for 40 days. And he told us something too. He said, we're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days there. But he told us to wait in Jerusalem until that happened. Well, he didn't say that they said it, but he said something more than though. He says here in our 11th verse, this same Jesus, two angels in white apparel, come from heaven to tell these Galileans, you know what? This same Jesus, the same one, whom you've seen us going to heaven, is going to come back exactly the same way that you saw him go. Now, I didn't word it just that way. Put that way just to make it a little more simple. But here it is in 3. Shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Is he coming again? Yes. The same way that with us. But now here we need to pause just a moment. Because here in this chapter, it is not developed as it is coming further. You catch us up. That doesn't take place. The next coming, when every eye is seen, just like when he went up, they all stood silent. When he comes and every eye sees him coming back, well, then what? Then we'll be coming with him. That's what's going to happen. We'll be coming with him. But this coming back is something the world doesn't want. And if you're unsaved and should happen to be in that, then you won't want either. Because if you're unsaved when he comes back that time, there's no hope for you whatever but to be cut off and cast into the lake of fire to be with the devil and his angels. But he's coming back to take his place as king and rule over this very world in which we live. The Jews will have a king, but who is it? Well, they said, you know, when he was crucified, well, we have no king but Caesar. No, they haven't. But they will. They will have, because on that cross, on that, the title above the cross was
written these very words, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Pilate put that up there. And then when those religious Jews saw this, they said, don't like that up there. Don't put that up there. Just put it up in the center with the King of the Jews. Oh, Father said, nothing doing. What's written is written. And that's according to the scripture. They have rejected their king. He was their king. Yes, but they didn't know him. And he never took his place. And of course, that's all a failure. Oh, is it? Yes, to the world it looks like that. But to faith, no. No. Just simply stop the Jewish clock for a little while. Well, it's been a long while then. Almost 2,000 years. But what's that? Just a couple of days. That's all. In the meantime, you dear souls here have been brought in. You have been brought into something that was altogether new in those days. You who are here today, who have been cleansed by precious blood, you are sealed and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And not only that, by that Holy Spirit, baptized into one body, and by that Holy Spirit also, eternally linked to that risen land in the glory. Well, we're not there yet, no, but we're going to be. And he's coming very soon for his own. But this coming here is not that. This is when he comes back to reign. Now what? Well, then it says, page is turned over here. Now here he says, they returned then, verse 12, they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, just what the Lord had told them. And we find farther on that they worshiped him. But now let's see what happens when they do that. They returned to Jerusalem just about the Sabbath day journey. Now verse 15, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. In our day in which we're living, there's a lot said about an upper room. There are complications about an upper room. But, oh, how far it misses the mark of telling what was in that upper room. Now, this may not be the same upper room where Jesus had been before. He was in an upper room before he died, when he instituted the Feast of Remembrance, and when he told them that he was celebrating the last Passover feast with them. But this is after he's gone to heaven, and then he's go back here and go into that upper room in Jerusalem. And who are they? Well, their names are there. It's the 11 apostles. Only 11, now you know. But we won't take time to read those names again. You'll read them as by yourself and count some other time. Now notice what says verse 14. And these all continued with one accord, continuing. What does that mean, continuing? Oh, you folks that have your little children understand what it means by continuing. We don't hear parents use that word very much, very often. But it's keeping on, keep steady at it, keep going, and continue steadfastly in thought. Well, it says here, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Did they need that? Yes. Do we need it? Oh, dear Christians, how much we need to pray. Be together in prayer. And how nice it is, even if young people, when they get together. You know, we hear so much sometimes about young people's meeting, and some of them get too old to go, I suppose. But nevertheless, one little thought comes to mind. You know, there were four young men, one of them was named Daniel. And you remember the other fellow's name? Well, let's not think of try to give now, but let's remember something about them. Well, they got into a peculiar position and got into a difficult one too. When that man Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he got all these magicians and fortune tellers and all of them out, and he said, now listen, you know what? I've had a dream, and I'm troubled about it. And well, I want you to interpret it to me. Well, what is the dream? Oh, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what dream. Well, but you tell it. You tell me what it was, and you interpret it anywhere else, it's too bad for you. Why, they said, no, nobody can do that. Tell us the dream, then we'll do it. But they couldn't do it, so he ordered them all to be destroyed. But Daniel was one that, of the bunch, not wasn't with them just then, however. And when he found it out, he said, the man that he had charge over, he had a kind of wonderful kind of confidence. He said, no, wait just a minute. What's all the rush about this? Give us a little time and we'll tell us. Daniel got his three young brothers, young friends, some companions, and they got together and had a little prayer meeting. Doesn't say they had prayer meeting, but they met for prayer. That's different, you know. We can have a prayer meeting and become so formal that that's all it is. But they really got together for prayer. And what was the prayer about? Oh, they could say to God, look here, maybe in there is in heaven, that we tell him his being and interpret it, else he couldn't give us. Well, God revealed it to them. They found out what the dream was. And then you know what he did before he went and told the king? He got his same companions together again, or maybe at the same time, and they had a praise meeting. They gave thanks for it. Young people, get together and try it. There's nothing more doubtful for your spiritual welfare in the world than to talk to each other about the Lord Jesus. And sometimes it's a pretty good idea for young people to tell this, or ask them, by the way, how did you come to be saved? How did you come to be saved? You ask your young friends, you find out you get a lot of different answers. And by the way, if they ask you, what would you answer? Can you tell it? Can you give it somewhere? Here's something, children, young people. If you really know it, and you begin to tell it, and you keep it telling it, 5 years from now, if you're still here, you won't tell it exactly the same way. Why not? Well, you'll learn more about it. You'll think of God who is concerned about you. You'll think of the Lord Jesus who died for you. You'll think of the Holy Spirit knocking at your door and telling you about these things. You'll think of your Sunday school teacher that tried to tell you something. You'll remember how your mother prayed for you and how Father warned you. Lots of things we'll never know on our own. How much there is involved in our conversion. And children, young people, young Christians, there's no better exercise for your soul than that. Here on earth, in occupation with him, of course, in his sphere. But at any rate, they continued then. It says in one accord in prayer and supplication, but who was with them? The 14th verse. The women, with the women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. Who are his brethren? Well, here, in this place, it's not the apostle, because we've already had them named. It's other children that Mary had. Children of Joseph and Mary, his natural brethren. Just like you come from home and there's, by the way, you meet the father and mother and say, by the way, how many children have you in this home? Six. Six children, fine. Now I go in and say, you know what those people have, they've got six children. Is that right?
Yeah.
What are they? I don't know, he's got six children. Are they all boys? Oh, I never found that out. Are they all girls? I don't know. They got six children. So it's brethren. Whether they're boys or girls or men or women, that's the point is, and often they find that descriptive. So always keep that in mind. But now notice what happened in the 15th verse. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, now here it tells us how many there were, about 120. And then here's what Peter said. Did you ever hear Peter talk? There's a lot of talking when he's on earth. But here's one, that's what he said. Men, brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Jesus. This is Judas Iscariot. He was one of the 12. Now, some people say he was saved and was lost, but he didn't so. The Lord, he was one of the chosen of the 12. He had obtained part of the ministry that they had. The Lord had given his disciples power to heal the sick and to cast out demons and all of that kind of thing he could do, and Judas along with him. But he never was real. The Lord said to him, he said, he's a devil. Tell that elsewhere. And the Lord knew it all the time. But another thing, important. The disciples didn't know it. The 11 didn't know that Judas was that kind of person. But Jesus did. Why did he pick one like that? Well, don't ask me to tell me why. We'll find out when we get home to glory someday fast. But the beauty of it is, the Lord didn't expose him to the rest of them until the very night
of his betrayal. When Judas was going out to sell his master for 30 pieces of silver, and they were all together in that upper room, not this one, but the upper room where they had that last Passover feast. Then the Lord Jesus, oh, can't you just close your eyes to the things around and get a sort of a picture of him? For he looks at his own and says, one of you is going to betray me. They begin to look at each other, and someone said, oh, Lord, is it I? Surely you don't believe. They didn't have confidence in themselves. But you know, Judas didn't just say that. You know what he said? Master is the I. He never owned Jesus as Lord. He acknowledged him as a teacher and a master, but he never owned him as Lord. But another thing in this connection we might keep in mind is, we don't find that John, not John the Baptist now, and he wasn't one of the 12, he died before ever the Lord went to the cross. But John the Evangelist, he was one who kind of kept a little closer to the Lord than the rest, and so he writes of himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Did you love all of them? Why, of course you did. Do you love all your children? Of course you do. But you know, sometimes even in a family, if one of the children has a little knack of just sticking a little bit closer to mother and father than the other, one who just seems to think, well, you know, I'd be something surprised mother and do this that I know she would have to do herself otherwise, or the boy does something like this. It kind of draws you a little closer together. And you know what? That's what was with John, the apostle. And he was there leaning on Jesus' bosom right at the table. And Peter motioned to him, but he just simply looked at the Lord and said, Lord, you deny? Why, you have no thought of anything at that time. He just simply said, who is it, Lord? Who is it? Christian, many of the time, if we are leaning close to him, we can get an answer that you can't get if you're following him in this. And you might get it right now. And he did. He got it right now. But what? So it says, the one to whom I give the salt when I give it, he's the one. And he gave it and gave it to Judas, who was also close to him at that time. And he went out. And then it tells us what happened here. Show him here a little further as far as on. But now, he said then, this scripture must needs be fulfilled, which David is spoken. And what was that? Well, here it goes on to say then, concerning him, which was to be guide to them who took Jesus. And he guided, you know, you boys know how Jesus was told, don't you? And how he was betrayed? Yes, Judas with old 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. He told him, listen, I tell you how you find him. I know where I put it. And you know what? You can follow me, and I'll drop him, I'll be in my kitchen. And the one that I kiss, that's the one you take him and hold him back. I got the money. And they did. They just that very thing. And when they got there, well, the Lord said to me, Judas, do you betray the master with a kiss? And then he gave himself over to them, and they took him and led him away to be crucified. But what about Judas with his 30 pieces of silver? Oh, when he saw that Jesus didn't get away from them and get away and save himself, and then he let him take him, and made him take him, and lead him up to Calvary, and lead him up to be tried as rather. Oh, but he got that. He had a conscience. And by the way, you got a conscience. They're little children, they got a conscience. And what is it? It made him do that. Just think, he said, what I've done, I don't want this 30 pieces of silver. I was taking them. And when he goes back to the temple, he says, here, take this money. I don't want it. And he threw it on the floor. And because they wouldn't take it, put it in their offering box because it was blood money. And what did poor Judas do? He went out and hanged himself, we're told in the gospel. And here it tells us something more about him. Poor man, lost forever. And in John's gospel, it says he put night. And what kind of a night? A night without a warning. Eternal night for that poor man. How about you, dear folks here today? Oh, fathers and mothers, are all your children saved? Dear young people, that have you really confessed the Lord as your Savior? If you haven't, do it now. You know what? If you could always get a little glimpse of his heart of love, you'd see him waiting. I want to come into your heart. Will you let me come in? I want to speak peace to you. I want to forgive your sin through the person. Fear of the Lord is your friend. Jesus did ask you to let him in. Will you do it? If you haven't, do it now. But anyway, let's see what happens. For he was numbered, it said he's got already read the 16th verse over here. Men and brethren, this scripture must need to be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, the author of the scripture, now remember, by the mouth of David spake concerning concerning Judas, which was guided him and took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now, this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his gall, his bowels got shot. Did he hang himself in the faith? Yeah. But probably when he hung himself, whatever he hung himself was broke, and he fell to the ground very late, all his bowels got shot. That's physically. Yes, but where is his soul? Where is his soul? Absent from the body, but with fumes and despair, in torment immediately, and in full conscious knowledge of the fact. The next one, it was known unto all the dwellers in Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in their proper tongue and tell them on. That's to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms that his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell in. And his bishopric let him meditate. Wherefore are these men which have comforted with us? Now notice, Peter is speaking, and how does he know that he has the right to do this? If you go back to the last chapter of Luke's Gospel, you'll find out that the Lord had taken all the scriptures, beginning with Moses and then the Psalms and the prophets, and opened them up to his disciples. So Peter knew what he was talking about. The Lord had explained it to him what he meant. And so he says here, wherefore are these men? Now what kind of men? These men which had accompanied with us all the time that Jesus went in and out of them. All the time. Yes, they didn't prove, they didn't come with him one day and be backslided as the other going against him. No, they'd been with him constantly all the time. Well, that's the kind of people you put confidence in, isn't it? Those that keep it going on. So you dear young people, if you receive Christ as Savior, walk like Christians through the world, and you'll get the confidence of people. In other words, it'd be like you get in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. It says, these all having retained good report from those that are without. What would the people in the community say about you? Would they say, well, watch that boy there. I don't have any confidence in him. Say, oh, I know it takes place in the 50s. He no better than the rest. That's the kind of report you got? That isn't the kind of report that would please your Savior. No. Boys and girls, and everyone, you never get to old you need this. I know it myself. What is it? We need to walk with the Lord so that we get up for the sport. Oh, I don't mean to say that everybody says, I sure like that man. I sure like that woman because they sure are Christians and they keep their lights on them. No, that they hate you for it. But the more they hate you for it, the more, the better is your report if you're walking with him. And that's what we need in these days. But at any rate, beginning from the baptism of John, they had been with him all the time now, so that they were the same ones they had seen when Jesus was baptized, and when the Holy Spirit came down, and I suppose heard that voice from heaven too, and until they saw him taken up to heaven, and until those two men said, they were quite aware of this. Well, you men of Galilee, you stand here looking up today. That same Jesus come that you see going on back in the same manner, but notice. And they appointed two. Now, notice, they appointed two. Joseph called Barnabas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. But now what? It's still, in some respect, a Jewish picture. Because they had the church isn't formed in here, for one thing. And furthermore, it was an old easy matter for the Jews to have all those things taken away from them and have something new without any material things to look to. But anyway, and they prayed. They prayed? Yes. The disciples prayed here again. And they didn't continue in prayer. What they pray about now? Well, because of what Peter told them. You know what? You know, there were only 11 of us.
and to have a perfect testimony to witness to the things that God has done. And we've got two men here that really have been with us all the time. They can be witnesses. Eyewitnesses now. They've been with us. They saw all of these things. And we've got to have one of them. But you know, we can't choose. Who told us? Well, the Lord Himself told us to be the apostle. And so they prayed. To me, this is one of the simplest forces in the whole Word of God for prayer. What's that? Why, only just a little bit before, they stood out there and saw that cloud. And he's normally on the other side of the cloud. Really, after all, no matter how far away it is, it's only for the second moment you can be from absent from body and friend with the Lord. And so when you speak it, but here they are in all simplicity and notice it. And finally notice that fact, notice too something very important, which is just into this very minute, at 3:30 this afternoon, just exactly as true as it was then. What is it? Oh, they prayed, verse 24, and this is what they said. A long prayer, you might get tired to listen to it. Is that so? No, sir, they weren't praying around the world here. They had an immediate need before them, and that's what they prayed about. And here's what they said. It's one of the simplest prayers that you can find. Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. That's the end of the prayer. That wasn't very long, but notice. Thou, Lord, who knows the hearts of all, think of it. You and I can't know one another's heart. You can't tell whether I'm a child of God or not. You may think I am from what you have, and I trust in his soul. But you can't read my heart. But he can. He knows the heart of all. And right now, he's looking right down in this room. The boys? Yeah. The girls? Yeah. Well, of course, you don't mean the little ones. Yes. But you don't mean the young people and the teens. Oh, of course you did. Not the old ones. Yes, the old ones. He looks right down into the heart. What does he find in the heart? Dear souls, are you trusting him? Are you rejoicing in the fact that he's going to come? Oh, don't come right now. Well, I've got some business I want to take care of, but I can't go now. Is that so? Uh-huh. What will your business amount to here? It brings to mind a little story. No, it isn't a story. It's within a region that I picked up down in Texas a few years ago in the home of a man who had come to this country from a foreign country, and he couldn't read the English language. A young man, and then at that time, and he was in the Delphi's region, somebody know about. And one of them, I don't remember which one, but at any rate, maybe the fifth or sixth or something like that, it was a dialogue written in there between a man, 40 years of age, or about that, and dead. Death and this man were talking together. And the death came in, and the man was sick of death. And he thought, you were going to die. Said, well, yeah, it's time for you to die. I'm the master of all. Oh, no! Don't take me now! I'm only 40 years of age. I've got a lot of things to do. I can't go now. And he pled, so the death said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you live a while. And I'll come back and give you two warnings before you have to go. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. That's what I want. All right. The man lived on, and he lived on, and when he was 80 years of age, death comes again. Oh, he says, oh, no, no, I can't go now. Yes, you can. You must go now. Why, no. Yes, he said. Well, but you told me you'd come back to give me two warnings, and you never did. I did too. No, sir. You never have been back to me once. Wait a minute. You remember when your eyes began to fail and you had to go and buy glasses? That was my one warning I gave you.
Do you remember when your ears begin to fail and you couldn't hear anymore? After the next warning, your time is up. You have to go. We don't take these warnings. We're too common around us, and yet we know they're true. Well, then what did Jeff say? Nothing. Time had come. He had to go and pass on. Well, then, we try to get this here. It fits the Jewish picture, but the prayer is so simple, and now the Lord Jesus makes his choice. They didn't choose. No, sir, they hadn't been choose. They didn't choose themselves in the first place. The Lord had chosen them, and they said, Lord, you chose which one that you chose. And here they cast lots, according to the Jewish way of doing things, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 12 apostles. Let's sing number 46 in the back of the book. Yes, number 46 in the back part of the book. Have I now thee, Lord, below, which would divide my heart with thee? Which would the worthless even go in answer to thy constancy? Oh, teach me quickly to return and cause my heart afresh to burn. Have I a hope, however dear, which would defer thy coming, Lord? Which would detain my spirit here, where not the message of thy Lord? From it my Savior set me free, to look and long and wait for thee. Be thou the object that is there, to fill and satisfy the heart. My hope, to meet thee in the air, and never more from thee depart, that I may undistracted thee, to follow, serve, and wait for thee. Number 46 in the back of the book.
Oh, boy, am I. Thank you.